My name is Zhao Ying Summers. Don't worry about pronouncing Zhao Ying. My iPhone auto-correct Zhao Ying to annoying. People also ask me, why don't you have a Chinese last name? I had one before I got married. I was a hoe.
I was introduced to therapy at a very young age. And if it wasn't for that, I think it maybe would have taken me longer to get into therapy as an adult. Because I was like you. It's like, well, I'm strong. I can figure this shit out. And there's that taboo. Especially in like, even like some of my friends now are just like, hey, they're still whispering. Do you have like a therapist you can recommend? I'm like, why are you whispering?
Yeah.
Say it. It's okay.
It's like a condom. Keep you from all the pulleys people are giving you.
Hi guys, what's up? Welcome to Tiger Milf Podcast. And I am thrilled to have this queen at my podcast. She's the very few powerhouse in comedy. Actually helped me, believed in me, lifted me up when I need help. And she believed in me. And she's literally one of the very few person who is doing that push for me, for my career. And I am very grateful that she made time today to be here. I'm ready for the one and the only, Kalaila Kun.
Hi.
Thank you.
That's such a sweet intro.
It is. I think you and Adam Carolla, mm-hmm. and Christina P are the few people who okay, I like her and think she's great. I'm going to push her.
Yeah.
And that's what you did.
Yeah, I think from the moment I caught wind of you, I was sold. Like, do you have something about you that I find similar to Bobby, which is sort of this like unadulterated, I don't give a fuckness. And I think that is so pure and authentic in people. And even I myself envy, because I'm like, fuck, I want to channel Zhao Ying in certain situations. Because you're just so fucking fearless. Like, you don't give a fuck. And I respect that so much in people. So, of course, I'd push for you. Of course, I'd rally for you. Like, I am a full believer in you.
Thank you. And you are very aware of how influential you are. And you don't give a fuck. You wanted to lift me up, and you wanted to put up on a great show for your audience.
Yeah, you're
funny
as fuck.
And you empower Asian women.
Oh, thank you.
It's just, I hate to say this, but in our community, being an Asian woman, doing what you do is so difficult, and people just judge you. Because you are a woman, you are an Asian woman, you are doing the things that a big white man is doing. You pull off the same shit they are doing, you're doing even better. People just hate you because you are great.
I think there's definitely, it's one thing to be a woman. Mm-hmm. It's another to be an Asian woman with a really dirty mouth. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes a lot of people uncomfortable.
Yes.
But you know, you ride that wave. You profit off their discomfort, and mm-hmm. I think that is, and it's not an easy path. But I think you know it works out in the end.
Yes, I love that. You humanize women. You really do.
You know, when Bobby and I first started Tiger Belly, like we were like the fucked up Asians, right? Like we were the ones that just weren't. You know, like we didn't fit into that model minority of what people, mm-hmm. like I think, had the idea they had of Asians. But like that's why Bobby and I bonded so quickly. We were just like, ooh, like you're really broken like me. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, we should go buy some mics.
That's amazing. And I felt like Tiger Belly really empowers and Asians, and also make us understand that we can be humans, you know?
Yeah.
We don't have to be the A-plus students.
No way.
Quiet people who have to be the creature that the other people think of us. We are people.
Yeah, we can be fucking disasters. we can be really irresponsible with money. We can be really irresponsible with people. With kids, as parents. It's like, but all of this, like growing up, you know, it's like you, so much of, at least in Filipino culture, is like you sweep things under the rug. It's not something, you know, we outwardly mm-hmm. like talk about. But we like feel like how disastrous we are, but no one's fucking talking about it, you know?
Yeah.
So thank you for saying that. I think that Bobby and I have done a good job of, at the very least, like showing just how disastrous Asians can be.
And you guys are great humans.
Thank
we
you.
We had so much fun in Austin, and you connect me with your friend, the therapist.
Katie Morton.
Katie Morton. She Morton, right?
Yeah, I was just Morton. Texting with her. Yeah.
Katie got me on her podcast.
Oh, amazing.
Katie does not know that, but people love her in China.
Really?
Yeah, they translated our whole episode, 1 hour, in Chinese network, and they are literally in Chinese. That's... Katie does not know she's a star in China.
We make me a star in China.
Yes, we.
They don't like my white face. My white face is not going to translate.
Your face
well
is going to be great. My mom, she in China. My mom was on my podcast, and that episode went viral in China. I got a GQ cover today. My Cosmopolitan is coming out. Cosmopolitan China is coming out. Oh my god! I
did my
stand up in China.
Zhao Ying.
We are gonna come to China and being a star with me. I did a Chinese stand up for Cosmopolitan, and it's coming out today in
That's
China.
Fucking incredible.
As we speak at 4. Oh my god! You are my lucky star. Holy shit!
Holy shit! Congrats! That's huge.
Oh my god. So it's just amazing. So my podcast just got really big in China, and so I was on her episode. They translate everything, and she people start like talking about her because they start going into her old episodes and be like, "Oh my god, that's a guidebook for mental health."
Yeah, she's incredible. She's incredible, and she also just is just a super fucking kind human being. I love her. She's great.
I meet amazing people from you.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah, I met Bobby from you.
Yeah.
I saw Bobby one time a long time ago at the comedy store. I was standing there. He was walking towards it. I said, "Hi, Bobby." He's like, "Yeah, I saw your videos. You know, keep doing what you do."
Yeah, I think you guys are kind of cut from the same cloth little bit.
I think so.
Yeah. You have a very it's like I can't even describe it. But there's a lot of pressure on the inside of your body, and it needs to come out in the form of comedy.
Yeah, I think so. We are very lucky to have you, both of us.
High on trauma as kids. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. I think, do you think you shock people when you talk about your childhood? People look at you and be like, she's been a hot girl her whole life.
I think it shocks people when... I think what disturbs people the most is that I'm able to talk about like very difficult things with a very like flat affect and like with almost like no, I don't know, like I don't feel affected by it, right? Like I'm not crying while I'm telling you the story of when I got like, you know, diddled by a family member. And that's because like I've intellectualized it. I've been in therapy for a long time, so I'm mm-hmm. able to talk about it, but it doesn't mean I'm like in my feelings about it, you know?
Yes.
But, no, it's kind of, I talk a lot about my shit because I think especially in the Asian community, it took a long time for us to talk about our shit.
Yeah.
And if anything at all, you know, if there's any big takeaway from Tiger Belly when it's long over, I hope that people can look back at it and be like, you know what? I think that was one of the first moments that like at least Asians were really fucking calling out their family structures and saying all the bad things that happen and like calling out like our parents, our grandparents, our fucking abusers, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, you know, you talk about,
yeah,
nothing will compare probably to how fucked up yours was, but mine, my childhood was definitely, not, you know what I mean? Like picture perfect one.
But you, it's amazing that you were able to go to therapy because it's very hard for us to go to therapy at the beginning because therapy is not a choice. Our parents be like, no, that's stupid. Well, but you went through it and you talked about it and people can see there's another side. I can come out. I can be a successful badass bitch and still face my trauma and be at ease with it.
Right.
And that's, we can actually do that. And I actually, for a long time, I did not believe in therapy. I saw that is for people who's weak.
Yeah, you just want to white knuckle through everything.
Yeah.
It's like, and, no, I can do this on my own.
I always think I can do it. And whenever I see somebody said over those things, I'm just disgusted. Like, you are so weak and disgusting. Until it I'm like, why are you so weak? Like, yeah, yes, just stop crying about like the bitch. And then all the trauma start building up. And then to the one point after I had my son, I got to the point that I had this major fight with my husband and my mom. And I was smiling. I said, I think it's time for me to go.
Oof.
To kill myself. I wasn't even angry. I said, actually, that's the best solution. You know,
yeah.
I tried everything and
yeah.
I'm gonna kill myself.
I can definitely relate to that. So full disclosure, I mean, I've talked about it on my shows and stuff. Like the reason that I was even forced into therapy to begin with was because I had multiple suicide attempts when I was in high school. Like I came from the Philippines to LA as a teenager and I just was not, I wasn't adapting to my environment well.
It's the hardest thing.
It was
as a teenager.
It was too much. I had a ailing father. He was like actively dying. I had a mom who really was not, you know, like we were all just so fucking lost in this new country that was supposed to be the best thing that happened to me. And I just found it to be very like lonesome. I could not like culturally like adapt to a lot of things. And so I was miserable. And so I was forced into therapy because I had a couple suicide attempts. I ended up in a couple psych hospitals, BHC twice and once in Torrance. And like, yeah, that feeling of like, I'm not even sad and I'm not even happy. I'm just ready to be gone. I'm apathetic. And I think people mistake like, you know, when they think about depression, they think about someone who is just crying and crying and sad and blue. It's like, no, that's not how I am when I'm depressed. When I'm depressed, I'm apathetic. I can't even cry. I can't even feel. There's nowhere to go. I can't even be in my feelings at all. I just don't give a fuck.
You are a problem solver.
I am a
problem. That's your personality.
Yeah.
You don't fuck around. You're like, if I choose this, I solve the problem.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bitch about it. Oh my God. Yeah. I feel the same way.
Yeah, and that's a really scary place to be.
Because you carry so much responsibility. Because how you grow up, everybody else needs to come before you. You carry the responsibility to make sure everything's good for everybody.
100%. I was in the Philippine national team by the time I was like 10 years old. And you know, my family relied on my sister and I to be high performing athletes because the government gave us money. And so we came to America for that, right? Because her and I were supposed to be these like, you know, carry on with being like, you know, athletes for the Philippines. And shit just got fucking lonely and sad. And I wanted the fuck out of it all. And, but thankfully the upside of that is I was introduced to therapy at a very young age. And if it wasn't for that, I think it maybe would have taken me longer to get into therapy as an adult, because I was like you, it's like, well, I'm strong. I can figure this shit out. And there's that taboo. Especially in like, even like some of my friends now are just like, hey, they're still whispering. Do you have like a therapist you can recommend? I'm like, why are you whispering?
Yeah.
Say it. It's okay.
It's like a condom. Keep you from all the coolies people are giving you.
No, exactly. Yeah.
I start therapy on January this year.
Just this January.
Yes. I hate that I start so late.
Oh no, that's amazing. It's never too late to start. Good for you.
Since I got on Tiger Belly to now, one thing different is that I got sober.
Amazing.
Because when I got on your show, I just started therapy like a few months. Now I got sober. Nobody told me you should stop drinking. I decided that I love myself too much to never reach my full potential.
What was a point for you where you were like, oh, maybe I have a problem?
I always knew I had a problem.
Really?
I started drinking when I was 14 years old. Nobody knew. My father is an alcoholic. He's not functioning. I've never seen him sober. Mm-hmm. And he's the reason why my mom and him fight so much, because my father never had a job because he's drunk. My uncle is on a wheelchair from drinking.
Oh, wow. So
we have it. I have it in my DNA. Okay. But I'm very ambitious and together. So I won't let drinking get in the way of things. So I would drink with my dad when I was a teenager. I never get drunk and go to school. But with the divorce, my ex-husband really abused my alcohol use disorder. Before I met him, I'm a social drinker.
Yeah.
I became a full-blown alcoholic in the marriage.
During the marriage, yeah.
Yeah, he found out that I rely on alcohol for my stress. And he started feeding me that you are an alcoholic. You know, your father is a drunk. Whenever I get drunk, not even like crazy, just like we had a party, you know, I got tipsy on the couch. I'm like, oh, well, he's like, you are drunk like your dad. He started feeding me this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I just like, okay, I'm going to stop drinking. But he's like very mentally abusive and I got really stressed out. I want to drink. And he'll be like drinking with me. Like, oh, I'm going to drink with you. Keep giving me alcohol until I get drunk and he won't drink many. And then he next day tell me you have a problem. I never knew he's been doing this to me until I left the marriage when, you know, I left him with comedy and I was coping my divorce. So I drink not before the show, after the show. I would drink myself to sleep. I can't sleep. I would drink 2 bottles of wine. I'll drink 5 shots after the show. I'll have 3 beers. And to a point that I threw up in the morning. Every morning I would throw up, but nobody knows I have a problem until...
Yeah, because that's what's scary, right? About being such a functional alcoholic, especially for someone as ambitious and a go-getter like you. It becomes this invisible thing that really no one can even like sniff out because you're doing so well and you're showing up to things on time and you're parenting and you're doing all this. Like, you know, Bobby always says that like he feels very lucky that when he drinks, he falls apart very quickly. Like, it's very obvious. Like, it's like he'll hit a bottom very rapidly. So it's like but I think it is scarier when you drink and you're still able to do all of the things because then it takes longer for you to realize that, oh, I do in fact like have this problem.
Yeah.
When there are no consequences right away, like how are you supposed to know that, you know, it's a problem outside of like feeling physically ill?
Yeah. I have high tolerance. Yeah. Very, very high. When I was in college, I drive everybody home. I drink the most.
No shit.
I drive everybody home because my alcoholic father, we just have high tolerance with alcohol. When you have high tolerance, it's a bad thing. It's because people would get high, get drunk in 3 glasses. I'll take 2 bottles of wine to get drunk. The first 2 glasses, I feel nothing. I'm like, I have more energy than ever. Four glasses, I have more energy. 5 glasses, I can do an hour show. And then after 1 bottle, I'm a small girl. It's the poison in me. It takes days to get out. And the thing really make me want to give up is that in the morning, I can't get up at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. My children came to my bed and they're like, hey, mommy, I want to go to school with you. I'll be like, go away. Shh. What? So I won't be there for them. I'm not there for them at night to tell them bedtime stories.
Yeah.
I'm not there in the morning. So I'm not there. Yeah. I will be gone from their life. And I decided, I think it was at Austin. I had this one show. It was beautiful. It was sold out. After I meet the fans, I start drinking. I start have 1 glass, 2 glass, 5 glass of beer. I had 5 shots. And I went back to the hotel room. I grabbed 4 beers.
Wow.
I was sitting in my bed drinking beers. Then I went to the bathroom and threw up. So I choked myself. It was really hard. Did not die. It just went to my throat and then my nose. It was like feeling. It's like I was so disgusted by myself covered with puke. I'm like, why would I do that? Did I need to drink to get on stage? No. But why would I do that? Then I realized it hit me. It's that I get drunk as a self-sabotage behavior. It's because I reject therapy. I make fun of people who is sad over little things because I think they are weak. And deep down, I'm still that little girl who was from the dumpster, who nobody liked, who was ugly, who don't deserve anything good. So when I have the success coming to me, I don't want to feel the success because I know I don't deserve it. So I get drunk, I don't feel it.
Well, you're not in a place to receive joy.
No.
So you're in a place to work really hard. You're in a place, you're coping, whether it's with alcohol or whatever it is. But I think until you you know, work out the stuff of being young and hurt and do like that inner child stuff, you will, no matter where you are in your life, no matter how much money you're making, if you are not able to experience that joy, there's nothing you can do. Like you could be like, I am happy. I think there's money in my account. I think, but it's like, you won't feel that until you've done the work.
That's so true. And that work was missing.
Yeah.
I mean, I did not go to therapy after my suicide attempt.
So, really?
Yeah, the suicide happened before I went to your show. So
Before Austin?
Before
Tiger Belly.
Before Tiger Belly.
Yeah.
The suicide happened, I would say, three years ago. I tried to kill myself. Maybe that's the last time. The first time and last time I tried to kill myself. But even though I tried to kill myself, I did not go to therapy because my ex-husband told me therapy is, no, don't do it.
What a piece of
shit. Stupid. Yeah. Uh-huh. He's awful. He's this fucking shitty piece of shit. I was just really sad. And I don't think there's a solution for it. I know I'm moving as fast as I can in my career and I'm spending as much as time I can with the children. I still feel like I'm really sad. So I decided to go to therapy. So I think it's like after I got in therapy, I went to therapy right before I got on Tiger Belly show and before our Austin show, it was like, I think, around 2 months after Tiger Belly show, I started to talk to myself in a logical sense. I would ask myself questions that make sense. Not like the the passive aggressive, defensive stuff we ask ourselves without any help. I would say, why would I drink? Normally I'll be like, I'm having a good time. You know what? I can drink and I'm not a drunk because I can get up in the morning. I can still work. So don't call me a drunk. You know, now I'm like, but I didn't need the alcohol. I didn't need to throw up until 4 a.m. in the morning. It's because I didn't do the work. I don't deserve happiness. I don't want happiness. And I need to figure it out. So I said, first of all, I don't need to be drinking because I want to be there for my children. I want to reach my full potential. And I know I'm going to get sick in a few years drinking like this.
Yeah.
I'm going to get sick. I'm also pre-diabetic.
Pre-diabetic, yeah.
And then the doctor told me you can't drink that
much. Oh, shit.
You can drink little bit. You can't drink 2 bottles of wine a day.
Yeah. Did the sobriety come before therapy or did therapy come before the sobriety?
Sobriety come after therapy.
Sobriety came after therapy.
After therapy, I start asking me questions that matters because I'm educated enough to be asking myself the right question rather than being this defensive person.
That's a problem with smart girls like you though and smart girls like me. It's like we... Just because we understand what's happening to us doesn't mean it's not happening to us. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's like I, where I get in trouble a lot is like I intellectualize everything where it's like, well, no, like, I understand what my problems are. Therefore, I have an advantage over the problems. It's like, no, the problems are there just because you understand they're there or know they're there. Doesn't fucking change it. Right. And so like, I get why you probably didn't feel like you had a problem for a very long time. But what I wanted to ask you is like, what did your first therapy session feel like?
Oh my God. I feel naked. It's like the first time you try meditation. What the fuck is this? Why would I waste my time on this?
Yeah.
Why is she judgmental? Was my doctor like, what, this is not going to do anything. Like, yeah. I'm not having more money in my bank. This is not a job. I'm not spending time with my children.
Yeah.
I was trying not to be judgmental the whole time. I'm trying to tell myself, hey, this is science.
Yeah.
You believe in science, don't you? Yes, I do. So just don't try to be weird about it. Just even though you don't believe it, just listen. Just the... She's asking all of the basic questions. It was so slow because I'm always in this trauma, panic, flight mode.
Yeah,
my life, my whole life. Yeah. Like when something's not productive, I have anxiety.
Yeah.
And it's really hard sometimes for me to trust the process.
Yeah.
And the first one was like that. I just trying to convince myself this is science. You believe in science. You're not wasting your time. That's what you need. And then slowly it got to a point that I'm like, wow.
What point did you realize, oh, okay, I think I want to tell this person how I'm feeling. I think I want to share. Because, you know, like you hold on to it and your stuff and you turn it into comedy a lot. But like, I think what happens with comics is because you do have an outlet for your trauma in the form of comedy. Like, are you able to talk to this person and say, hey, like, I'm just fucking sad and I'm not trying to make it funny. Like, I feel shitty and I feel like crying, you know, like what point did it happen for you?
I think I just really have a hard time to talk with my mom because I just don't think I can solve it. And I just feel like there's nothing I can do about it. And my mom was just really toxic one time, because the thing about her is that something can trigger her. And once she's triggered, she would basically tell me I'm a bad person. I should die.
Oh, shit.
Like, you should die. You're a bad person. You were born selfish. That's just in you. You are just a bad person. You are a selfish person. You are inhuman. You don't have a soul. My mom, when she got triggered, she would go into a cycle.
Like red zone.
Yeah, red zone. She's just going to start talking about, like, you should die.
Yeah.
Oof, or I should die. Maybe I should die. Because you drove me crazy. I should die. And you are a selfish person. Over something, it's like, you know, we were in a restaurant. She asked for a booth. And the waiter's like, we don't have a booth. And do you want to wait or do you want to sit on that table? I asked, can we sit on that table and switch to a booth when it's available? She goes, no, you can't do this. My mom is taking the kids to the table. I said, mom, come back. We can't sit there because we can't switch. She's like, why do you speak to me so loud? Like, are you trying to insult me? Are you insulting me? You fucking bitch. Mm-hmm. And she would take the children. She would leave.
Oh, Lord.
The restaurant, when I'm talking loud, just because it's noisy.
Yeah.
And I won't tell her to don't sit there, because she thinks she sit there and she can switch to a different table. But they said once you sit, you can't switch. So I won't tell her, just come back. Let's wait. Because she told me if you wait for 3 seconds, we can wipe that down and move there, because it's like two different directions. I don't want her to drag the children to walk across the restaurant.
Yeah.
And she heard me speak loud and she just started calling me a bitch and in front of everybody.
That right there, that little moment where she felt like completely triggered, like all of that stems from like shame, right? Like even my mom, like something similar happened to her where she was in like a grocery store with my stepdad. And then she bought this like French bread that she wanted. And then outwardly, a little too loud, my stepdad's like, why are you buying that? Like, are you going to pay for that? And he didn't even mean it in a bad way. He just, I don't know how he meant it. Like, but it wasn't that bad. But she was so shameful in that moment. And she like raged out on him. But I think it's that same feeling where you're like, oh, you're trying to like publicly like humiliate me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find that a lot happens even with my mom, where it's like all of the stuff that I think she has done wrong as a parent towards me all comes from that same like shame.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think she was shamed a lot as a child. Yeah. She felt like she was bullied as a kid. She felt very ugly.
Mm-hmm.
She felt very poor.
Mm-hmm.
She never thought she was worthy of anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I look at my mom now and she gets like triggered in that way, I just see like a young kid really hurting,
mm-hmm.
and who hasn't had the access to therapy like we have.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, oh, she, like, that's just a young girl who mm-hmm. is not getting what she needs. And I feel sad about it.
It's really sad. And I now with therapy, I can just say, as a mom, I'm sorry you feel bad. I speak to you. I made you angry. I did not mean it. She said, yeah, you meant it. You mean it because you are a bad person. You want to hurt me. That's what you do your whole life. You are a bad person. You should be very ashamed of the kind of person you are. I said, mom, I'm a great person. You think I'm a bad person. It's your decision. You can say that, but I don't think so. I don't believe so.
And how does she react to that?
She goes, are you fucking crazy?
Yeah.
I said, I'm not crazy. I'm a good person. And she would shut down. She won't talk to me. She won't make eye contact. She'll start crying and shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to be like, you are a bad person. Fuck you. Because when I was younger, I wouldn't say fuck you. I'd be like, you know what? You are a bad person. Your mom would not say this to their daughter, you know? What kind of mother would say that to their daughter, you know? Mm-hmm. I'll say that to her, to fight with her. Now I can, like, I'm at a level, I understand what you're talking about. She's a little girl who's hurting. But at the same time, I want to make sure I don't get hurt.
Right.
If I get hurt, I snap. I start saying stupid shit. I talk to myself in a way that I talk to her. Like, I'm not a bad person. I'm not ashamed of who I am.
Right.
I would never be ashamed of who I am. I do the best I can for the children. I survived the divorce. I'm doing the best I can. Today is like the day off, you know. I've been working for 3 nights. I just want us to have a good time. I just really want to enjoy it. She goes, oh, you think I'm not working? You think I'm lazy? I've been doing this for the children. I'm like, mom, I did not say you are lazy. Right. She goes, yes, that's what you're saying. You are saying I'm lazy. You know, fuck you. I just feel like that's time for me to basically, it's like, if you speak to me like this, I can't talk to you right now.
Right.
Because there's nothing I can do.
There's nothing you can do.
And
there's nothing you can do when they're like just fully in that state.
The red zone, yeah.
Yeah. I, you know, I think for me, what's been really helpful with my mom has been like TikTok. Like she's finding, I don't know if her algorithm is just working out in my favor, but a lot of like bits of therapy about parenting, like abusive parents. And she's even understanding her parents a little bit better, but she's understanding herself. So like she still has a long way to go, but she's so much more open now. And she's so much more open to like hearing like my perspective on like why it was difficult, you know, to be her child. And but more importantly, we started doing mushrooms together. And that's just been, I'm telling you, the most healing thing. When we do mushrooms together, I see my mom for like who she is. I see that child. I see this like person who just wanted to be loved but didn't get it. And we just go on these like 5-hour hikes. And I'm like, well, fuck, she's never going to do therapy. Like, might as well, you know, do some psychedelics with her and maybe we can find some like common ground. And we have. And it's been so, like, I'm just so glad like we have that now.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, maybe you and your mom can. Well, no, you're sober, but I'm saying
she's doing therapy. She wants to find
a therapist. Is.
She said, I wanted to also find a therapist to help me with my problems so you can suffer less.
I think that is huge.
She said you can suffer less. I said, suffer from what? She said, suffer from when I'm unhappy about you being a selfish bitch. I'm like,
oh my God, that's so funny.
I'm so happy. I'm like, so I'm getting her a therapist who speaks Chinese.
That's important.
In Pasadena. So I'm, yeah, I think it's so important she wants to do it.
Yeah, that's
because we fight over and over. One time she was fighting with me. I walked away and she was feeding my son and my son followed me when she wasn't watching. And he found me. He's like, mommy, I want to go to the bathroom too. I saw she knew. Mm. She didn't know once they left. And then after 2 seconds, my son's gone. She got up and she tried to find him and she can't find him. She can't speak English. And the server thinks she was going to run without paying the bill.
Oh.
So they're going to call the cops on her.
Oh, no.
He literally just like literally got her ID and cornered her, won't let her leave. And she was just like, I lost my kid. And then nobody understand her.
Yeah.
And she was just like a puppy in the corner crying. It's like a illegal puppy who's going to get... killed.
Yeah.
Or like a Doberman who bit a child. So she's like this with her ID. I came with my Winston. She saw Winston. Her eyes light up and she hugged Winston. And then I set her back and I paid the bill. And then we reordered because they threw away our food. They took
Damn.
Away our food.
And they couldn't even give you the benefit of the doubt. Just be like, wait 5 minutes for someone to come back. Like,
it was crazy.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh. Me being angry can cause me losing my grandchild.
Yeah.
Because she saw she lost Winston. Because Winston was gone. We went to the bathroom for like 6 minutes. Went downstairs. We walked away to find the bathroom. So she was there trying to find Winston for a long time until she decided to run out of the restaurant when they found out she was going to run without paying the bills because she can't tell them she was looking for the child. Then she realized that her being angry over me saying that, mom, don't sit over there. If we sit over there, we can't switch the table. Let's just go sit over there. She goes, yeah. Shut the fuck up. How dare you talking to me like this? Are you fucking crazy? You selfish bitch.
And like, she lost the kid.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Maybe that needed to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she was thinking about, I was thinking if I lost Winston, I will never be the same. I can't live my life anymore. I'll spend the rest of my life trying to find him. I said, you'll never find him if he's lost.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, do I have a problem? I said, no, you don't. You're perfect. I mean, I can have another son. But having another crazy mom like you,
yeah,
not going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy she's doing therapy now. I'm going to find her a good therapist.
Yeah, I think I probably need the same for my mom. It's been difficult to find a therapist that can maybe understand like someone who, like an immigrant, you know? Like she came here in her like 40s, right?
Mm.
And like not knowing a single soul here outside of like my dad. So yeah, like I would love to find a therapist that speaks Bisaya, that understands what it's like to live in the Philippines, that would be able to understand like her upbringing, like how child rearing was over there. That would be great. But, you know, not easy to come across
it's
or find.
It's hard. But with you bonding with your mom and doing mushrooms and doing long hikes, it's going to lead into the next conversation with the therapy.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah, she's definitely softening up. And I love to see. I don't think it's ever too late to evolve. And she's in her 60s. And, you know, yeah, she had it fucking rough. You know, so it's like, I don't even need her to address what she's, how she parented my sister and I. I need her to address her own pain from her parents first and foremost. We can get to the me and my sister stuff like down the road. Mm-hmm. But I want her to take care of herself. There's I know that there's still things that like hurt her from her childhood. And I want her to like feel like a deep love for herself. And I don't think she's ever had that.
Yeah. I have a very interesting question. It may be difficult for people to understand, but like, what was it difficult? Not in a way that she's competitive. Was it difficult for your mom to view your success?
So it's not that she was able to, it was difficult for her to view my success. Like now, when I was younger, so my mom had nothing. She grew up in abject poverty. She was never really given a whole lot. Then she married a wealthy guy, which was my dad, right? And she had these two beautiful kids. So much of, she projected all of the things that she didn't have and made sure that my sister and I had it in spades. Like we just had a lot of it. And she lived through that. She lived through our success as athletes, as students. You know, my sister and I were like pretty like popular in the Philippines. Like we were considered pretty. And so she was like, oh, this is like, she's filling all the holes in her body through her kids. And that is that like we paid the price for that, my sister and I, because then we were her workhorses. Mm-hmm. We had to walk a very straight line.
The
we couldn't like
so
deviate.
High.
Yeah, like I couldn't
as a child
fuck
athlete.
Up. Yeah, and it's like the way she kept us in line was beating our asses, making us so fucking fearful of her. Like for the most minor offenses, it was like we got punished. So we walked this very, very like tight rope with my mom all the time. So it was kind of the opposite. She was almost so focused on only our successes that we were completely emotionally neglected. There was no, like, I remember the first time I was in therapy, I was like 15 and it was like a high school counselor. But it was like the first time I honestly heard someone say, how are you? What are you feeling in this moment? Like, and I'm like, this sounds so foreign to me. And I cried for a whole hour. Like, I couldn't even get the words out of my throat because I'm like, I don't think I've ever had to answer this question for anyone in my life. Like ever up until this point. And I realized that I had just been serving my mom's needs and I wasn't allowed to be a child, you know? And so that was like super painful and, you know, mm-hmm. it was tough, but, yeah, yeah. But now with my success with podcasting, 10 years ago, she was like, what the fuck are you doing with your life? What the fuck is a podcast? Because I had just graduated from nursing school. And my sister was already a nurse. My other sister's a nurse. My mom's a nurse. And she's like, oh, great. Just another nurse in the family. And I told her, I was like, I was already hired by a hospital. And I was like, so about that, I'm just kidding. I'm actually not going to work as a nurse. I just started dating Bobby. And Bobby's like, don't do it. I know in your heart you want to do something else. Let's just figure out what that is, right? And so I was like, I got some mics. I bought some mics. Let's talk into a mic. And she was just like, oh, I don't know what the fuck this bitch is doing. But like, I told her, I was like, Ma, if you're so angry at what I'm doing, and if you're so angry that I'm not doing nursing, don't bail me out. If I need money, don't give me anything. I need nothing from you. I literally like, let me suffer. I'm choosing to suffer because I don't want to do this thing. And she just like, all right, I'm going to close my eyes and hope to God 5 years from now, this pays off. And so she did. And finally, you know, now she likes to watch my shows. She comes to my live shows and she's like super proud of me. And she's somebody, she like cried to me a couple like weeks ago and she was just like, it's hard for me to say this, but she's like, you're so strong. You're stronger than I ever will be.
Right.
And it's nice to hear your mother say that. She's like, I read this stuff on the internet about you. She's like, I'm so in awe that you just like keep putting like one foot forward. She's like, it hurts me as a mom to hear like what people say about you, you know? And so it's like, but you're strong and I'm so proud of you. And the words hardly left her mouth, but I'm like what that does to the young me is like immeasurable, I think.
Yeah, I think it's so beautiful. You, I just think you walked on blaze, you know, when... Like when you and Bobby started it, you know, you don't know where it's going to go. Yeah. You know, you didn't know. Yeah. You're just two people just don't know what you're doing, but also know there's something special there. And nobody told you there's no formula. You guys were the people who really did it for us, for our community. It's like in many levels, you know, for her to really see you. She was forced to see you because the success became so massive that everybody knows who you are. And she was forced to see you. When she was forced to see it, she realized how amazing her daughter is, because she's projecting because she doesn't want to see who you are, because she's afraid to see how awesome she really is.
Yeah.
Because admitting you being amazing and great requires her to admit that you are a part of her. She's actually also amazing and great, and she can't do it.
100%. And
she's forced to do it.
No,
because
like,
you are like the conversation of the society. What do you do, who you are. And
I think that, you know, I am an extension of who she is, like, always. And I think I always tell her, it's like, look, like, I didn't get here on my own. Like, you've made a shit ton of mistakes. You've hurt me a lot. But you fucking tried. You really tried. I know that you put your life on the line for us. And you fucked up a lot. But I'm here. I'm breathing and standing and living, like, because of you. You know, you put food on the table, like there, you sacrifice a whole lot in your life. Like, I'm eternally not just grateful, but like I'm your mirror. Like, I'm you, Ma. You know, I'm maybe the more actualized version of you because I've had therapy for a long time. But like, I'm your daughter. You made this. Like now go love yourself. You know, like, it's okay to say that you helped me get here because you did. Even if it's in many fucked up ways.
I don't think there's anybody in this life, including romantic partners, can hurt us more than all moms. I don't think so. The pain she calls me.
Mommy wounds are, you know, everyone's like, oh, daddy issues. No, mommy wounds are underestimated. And I think it's because we forever, like, I sure wanted my dad's approval. He's passed. But like, I need my mom. I want my mom to love me. Like, my dad, of course, is... I wanted my dad to love me, but, like, we lived in the same body. I lived inside her body. There is just something inherent and biological need that I have from this person. And I think that's why mommy wounds, like, for me at least, hurt the most. Yeah. And they're hard to heal.
Very hard to heal. Because they are so stubborn, it's hard for them to understand that we didn't want to hurt them. We do whatever we try to make them proud. And if we say something wrong, they can't blame us for it over and over. You know, they can't help because they gave us so much based on the knowledge they have. And they felt we are not being grateful when we express we are individual human being.
Yeah. I think that just like, it's important to just
it touched me so much when you tell me about your mom come to see your show.
Yeah.
And understand what you do for a living and how much people you inspire.
Yeah. And you know, that's a thing, right? It's like, you know, I always view myself like, oh, I'm just a podcaster. I actually don't do stand-up. I don't do anything. I just created this like little podcast in my head. It's always just this little podcast, right? But whatever it is, like, whether it's my sister, you know, as a nurse or whatever it is I would have done in my life, like, it is just nice to have your mom, like, validate your existence and your success.
Yeah.
And say, like, holy shit, you got here. You did it. And despite me telling you to kill yourself, you're here.
Yeah.
You know? That's kind of cool, right?
Yes, I remember I took my mom to when I was inducted into Asian Hall of Fame. I took her there, and after I got the award, she was on stage. I gave it to her. I said, "Mom, I want you to hold this," and she said something that she made me cry. She said, "You know what? I always knew you would get here. But it just, it was a long road that we walked for a long time together. And I was divorced by then. And she goes, look, it's you and I again. You know, it's us again, just me and you against the world. We are here. And I make you angry. I say crazy things, but I'm always going to be here for you.
I think that's ultimately why, you know, it hurts to be in each other's like company and presence sometimes, because it really is that feeling of like, hey, like it really is just us against the world. It's always just been my sister and then my mom, right? Like we came to this country and without knowing, we didn't have family here. We didn't have friends here. We didn't, you know, a lot of times when people come here, they're already sort of like set up with some type of like, you know, support system, right?
Yeah.
We didn't have that here. We had a dad who was in his late 70s. Our first Christmas in America, he had a heart attack. We spent, you know, we were just so fucking like lost like here. So that feeling of like when your mom's like, hey, look, it's us again. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, it's always been us, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Like we've just been through like the worst shit and here we are. And I'm now like almost 40, you know, like
you look 25.
Thank you.
Is a Filipina skin.
We try. But it's like 15 years old didn't feel that long ago. Do you know what I mean? It's like so much time has passed, but yeah, it's just you and it's just us still.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's lovely. And I think that there's hope for you and your mom. And you know, I hope that my relationship with my mom continues in that direction, because like, holy fuck, man. Like, I can't even express like how much like I love this woman. Like, I love her ugly. I love her beautiful. I love it all just because like I understand her. And doesn't mean she doesn't hurt me.
You have such a big heart. I think one thing so special about you. The first time I met you is at your the slug.
Trash Tuesday.
And I was gonna go to San Diego and you were late in traffic.
I was so late.
I wasn't running late for anything. I was just very excited that because it's for me, you know, it's just amazing to be on your podcast. It's actually a huge favor you are doing for me to be on it, because I really need to be connecting with women like you. And Esther is great for me to meet her in real person.
Yeah.
Because it's just for me to be introducing to women like you guys is actually for me, you are doing me a huge favor. And when you were late and you just like, you feel so bad, you were apologizing to me and you actually got on the floor. I almost had a panic attack. I was like, does she not know who she is?
I was bowing.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I was just like, oh, there are people like you. There's like, you know, because the greatest successful people, they are just as humble as you see them. It just it just make me feel so good about this world.
You're making me feel like Julia Roberts right now.
You are. Like, you are the Julia Roberts of podcasting.
Oh my
God,
let me wipe my nervous sweat.
Of course you are. Like, I just like, does this bitch know who she is? Why is she bowing? Like, I'm just going to lose 10 years of my longevity from her trying to rob my ears from me for breaking the rules of she didn't know who she is.
I have never felt like anything other than like, no, it's like we podcast. That's what we do. Like, there's no sense of like, I'm a thing. Or like, and I'm not even trying to like be humble about it, but it's like, fucking kill me if I'm any other way but that. If I forget to apologize because I'm late, if I start to fucking walk around like I don't have to acknowledge like my mistakes, like, just fucking like throw me off a bridge. I don't want to be that person.
I just love you so much. I just knew that I just knew this crazy lady is going to be my friend forever. And you were so great
on that show, by the way. If you guys haven't already seen it, go watch Jiaying on Trash Tuesday. People loved you. Like, even my mom was like, she was amazing. I'm like, I know.
Oh, I had so much fun, and I just knew you in the moment. I'm like, wow, this woman is so special. And when I got on your Tiger Belly, I had so much fun talking to you and talking to Bobby. It was such a great episode.
It was so good.
It was so good.
So many like clippable moments.
Yes, yeah, so great. And I knew you are very special, and you really remain one of the very few person to push very hard for me at that stage of my career. And I'll never forget it, and I'll always be grateful.
When you have a big fancy yacht, can I have a room in it?
Yes, you can have it.
Okay, thank
you. You can have it.
And I want,
because you're gonna
name.
Have it before I have it. But you can have my smaller yachts compared to yours.
No. You're going to get the yacht before me. I just need one of your pillows with my name embroidered on it.
KK.
Yeah, KK. That's all I ever ask. Oh, yeah. Like friends who I've like rallied for and supported. I'm like, look, when you get that yacht, because I love boats, I just need one embroidered pillow with my name. That's all I ask.
Yes, it's going to be pink boat lace. Yeah. I mean, pink and gold.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I just want to thank you.
Of course.
For being there for me, for just you believing in me, and you give me the platform.
You're not that hard to believe in. You know what I mean? Like, I think that you talk about it like you're surprised someone is helping you. You're very easy to believe in. You're a fucking phenom. Like, it doesn't take a lot for, like, I listened to you for like 30 seconds. I was like, oh, that bitch is like, she's gonna fucking make it. Like, and same with Bobby. He thinks that of you.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I'm just so grateful for you guys.
Yeah, of course.
I think because of you are so true, that's why your podcast is so powerful. Because very few people reach that level still rip their heart out right here. People just don't do it because they lose it on the way there.
Yeah.
And you are just, there's something about you that is your mission to wear your heart right here. So you can just get through all of the media just here. You know, Clara is right here.
Mm-hmm.
Like that big sister that, you know, the little kids can look up to, be like, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
Like, this is not enough of me.
Oh my God. I love that you say
that's
that.
That's how I feel.
My
That's
only goal is to make people feel a little bit less like fucked up and alone, right?
Yeah, I think that's the
all
power
I really like.
You have,
and there's some people like, you know, who hate what I say, who think I'm a fucking psychopath because I say these horrible things about like that have happened to me with a straight face, and it's like no, I say these things and I share these things about myself because like I grew up feeling like I had no one to relate to. Like, the only thing that I loved watching when I was a teenager was Howard Stern and listening to Loveline with Dr. Drew.
Oh, I love Dr. Drew.
And Adam.
I love Adam. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Dr. Drew and Adam are the other two person.
Yeah.
Like, Dr. Drew came to see me at Jimmy Kimmel Club like this weekend, last weekend. And he and Susan came to see me at in New York, the show I did with Godfrey.
Yeah.
Yeah, Adam, that's like, see, it's the whole circle because you watch them and you connect with them. And Adam is like, literally, I'm on his show. I'm a regular on his show. And he introduced me to so many people. And I'm crazy. And he's like you. He just see the crazy and he appreciate the crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think that crazy has a lot to offer. You know, and I think when I was like younger, like I would listen to Loveline and I would listen to Howard Stern because I'm like, at the very least, there were girls that would come on and talk about the bad things that had happened to them, like sexually or whatever. And those are the things I could relate to. But in my everyday life, I'm like, no one's fucking talking about.
Everybody's so fucking perfect.
Yeah, everyone looks so great. So I would tune into those things. And like, it does feel like a full circle moment because like I do, like we've had Dr. Drew on Trash Tuesday and it's like, oh, fuck, like, this is the person. I always tell him this. It's like, you were in my ears when I was a really lonely teenager. And like, your show helped me not feel so terrible. So even if I'm laying it all out there, and even if it makes people uncomfortable, at the very least, I know there's some people listening who are like, hey, like, I feel a little bit less terrible about my life because, like, Kalila talked about being, like, fisted by her family doctor. Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, you know what? If me getting assaulted by my family doctor makes someone not want to kill themselves, fuck it. Then this is all worth it for me.
I remember when you talk about when you were in the mall and your mom got angry and twisted your nipple.
I'm telling you, I was really into it. And my mom make fun of my lips being dumplings. I have to like do this. And she's like, just suck those lips in. Don't poke them out. Like, Jesus, you are bringing shame to me. I'm just like,
what? Her big, beautiful, luscious lips.
Yeah. And it's just like,
it's so funny. That's so fucked up. No, yeah. At JCPenney, it's like, we had only been in America for like 2 months at that point. And she was because she was too shy to ask the attendant at JCPenney for my bra size because her English was not good. And then I was too scared because I'm like, oh my God, I'm not going to fucking ask an American attendant for my bra. I was just embarrassed, right? So my sister and I were like, you do it, you do it, you do it, you do it. And then she took one fucking nipple from me and then one nipple from my sister. And she just fucking purple nurpled us like really fucking hard. And we just froze. We fucking froze. And we were walking around with like two blue titties for like a fucking week. She was such a fucking monster like that. But dude, she was so creative with how she would hurt us, because like what are we gonna do, like call the authorities and be like, look what our mom did to us, fucking blue nipples. So but dude, she'd fucking like banana peels, like whatever she had at her disposal was like her weapon.
I know, my mom,
yeah, she's like, rock salt, we'll make you fucking kneel on that.
Oh my God,
yeah,
she
was
so funny.
She really was kind of like a performance artist in that way.
Yeah, my mom the same way. Yeah. She was through a dictionary on my face.
Yeah. Learn some words.
Yeah, she's like, learn some ABCs. Yeah.
Book throwing. Yeah, that was definitely a Filipino sport too.
You have to take me to eat some real nice Filipino food.
Yeah, would love to. Have you been to any out here?
No.
Yeah, because a lot of times like good Filipino food is usually just cooked by
home. Yeah.
At home, you know.
I'll make some Chinese food. I grew up in a restaurant.
Fuck yeah.
Yes, we have to hang out. I'm going to hang out with you and cry more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's a good year.
Yeah, no, like I'm always good for, I'm always up for a good cry.
Yeah, let's cry. Let's
and if you ever want to unalive yourself again, call me because I will punch you in the pussy and remind you nice. How amazing you are.
Nice, nice. I would love to get
back. I will drag you by your fucking hair.
Nice.
Yeah, be like, no, the fuck you're not going today.
I just can't. We're going to record this when I'm lonely. I'm going to hear this. I'm going to drag you, punch your pussy and drag your hair. Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, please don't. The world needs you.
Thank you. I just want to thank you for coming here. It means so much for me to for you to come here.
Yeah,
it means so
of
much
course.
To me. I don't even speak English anymore. I'm just so happy. I love you, Kalila.
I watch thank your clips you all the bitch. Time. I watch thank your clips you. With Godfrey. I watch your clips with your guests. Like, dude, high entertainment there.
Thank you. I also. The Tiger MILF is I steal from your name.
Just Tiger
case,
Belly?
Yeah, just in case you don't know.
Well, you know, Tiger is a very Asian.
Yeah, it's Chinese, it's Asian, it's whatever. But I think a Tiger Mom.
Yeah.
And I'm a MILF, so I just saw Tiger MILF.
Yeah, it's a great name. It's a catchy name. Yeah, cute. Use it. We yes. don't own the word Tiger.
You kind of do, because both of you, for the podcast Tiger, you do.
I know, like it's weird because it's Tiger Belly, but like nothing, we don't have like Tiger, like nothing.
It's a cute name. What do you guys came up with? Isn't
it? It's, he used to call like, it was like a term of endearment for Bobby, like when he would call someone instead of saying like darling or whatever, he'd be like, what's up Tiger Belly? Like it was just a cute term.
Tiger Belly is a cute name.
Yeah.
He calls you Tiger Belly.
Yeah, like he would call his friends that and stuff. So when we were coming up with a name, I was like, what about what you call so-and-so? And he was like, Tiger Belly? I was like, yeah, that sounds like,
there's a Chinese idiom saying about Tiger Belly. Say Tiger Belly is like, it looks fluffy and cute, but don't touch it. It's going to fuck you up.
Oh, really?
Because Tiger's belly, you know?
Yeah.
It looks cute. You touch it, like,
oh, that's true. Because the cats have the primordial pouch. Yeah. And so like, they don't, like, cats usually don't offer up their belly unless they really trust
really
you.
Really love you, yeah.
Because that's where their organs are.
That's where you are showing the Tiger Belly to the world.
Yeah.
Because you are healed and you won't heal others.
Oh my God, our name has so much more meaning.
It is.
Now.
It is. It's like you are a powerful, strong person, but you don't want to show people you are just that bad bitch who's rich and famous. You're like, I'm a fuck up little piece of shit like you every day.
Yeah.
And you are vulnerable because you are powerful. Because
yeah.
you know you're powerful.
But isn't that a thing like we all learn later in our lives? Is like being vulnerable is the most powerful state you can ever be.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I love
sister.
That you're crying. I love that I you're cried. In your feelings.
Yeah, my eyes are tiny, but I cried because my heart was touched. Thank you.
I'm a big crier too.
Where can we find you?
Gosh, you know, everywhere. My IG, all my socials, Calamity K. I have a podcast called Tiger Belly. I have another one with Annie and Esther called Trash Tuesday. And yeah, just, you know, DM me, say hello. I love you. You're so great. And you have to come back on our show.
I would love to. Yeah. Whenever you have time, I'm there.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.